Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
As we are well aware, there are a number of viruses that are all around us. And they threaten to infect many people in many places, and even perhaps with the potential to infect a majority of the population of this world. And so we cautiously listen as we are told what steps we should take in order to avoid becoming a casualty of these viruses. But there is an even more deadly virus, a virus that we do not hear very much about today, a virus that has already infected every man and every woman and every child in this world since the time of Adam and Eve. But unlike any other virus, this virus will have eternal consequences for us. And as you might have guessed, this virus is the disease of sin. But it seems that there are only a few people today who take the reality of this virus very seriously. And it also seems that there are even a fewer number of people warning us about this deadly disease and telling us about a cure for this disease. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul tells us that the only cure for this disease of our soul is Jesus Christ. The only cure is his sacrifice for our sin. And he died for all of us, Paul tells us in verse 15. He died for you. He died for me. He paid the penalty for our sin by pouring out his blood for us. So, we have been healed from the disease of our sin by God himself. We are alive. We are well forever. And so, his great love for us that he has demonstrated to us should result in a response from us, shouldn't it? It should result in gratitude from us for him. So Paul says in verse 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we who are alive in Christ should no longer live for ourselves, but we should live to please him who suffered and who died and who rose again from the grave on our behalf, for our sake. So for those of us who truly do belong to Jesus Christ, his death carries with it an obligation, doesn't it? It should result in thankfulness from us, where selfishness is not the pattern of our lives, where it is not our primary motivation anymore. As Paul pointed out in Romans chapter 14, where he said, whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord, so we should seek to please him and not to please ourselves. And perhaps this is the evidence of our salvation, our thankfulness for what he has done for us. Therefore, Paul concludes in verse 16, from now on, apa to nun in Greek, from the time that we recognized this truth concerning the death of Christ, from the time of our salvation until now, everything in our lives has changed. Now we no longer have the perspective of this world, do we? We recognize this, Paul says, oida in Greek. We no longer evaluate any man according to the flesh, that is, by the standards of this world. And just what are those standards? Well, we don't see people according to their race. We don't see them according to their class. We don't see them according to their culture, their background, their wealth, their education, or even their occupation. Because all of these things, they're external, they're superficial, they're all temporary. But now we look at people from the standpoint of God, from the standpoint of the cross of Christ, from the standpoint of eternity. We ask ourselves, and perhaps we ask them if they claim to belong to Christ. And so now we see them in the light of their relationship with him, in the light of eternity. Because in the end, everything else will not matter at all. Even though it is true, before we knew Christ as our Lord and Savior, we acknowledge that, well, that is who we were also. We only knew him, Paul says in verse 16, according to the flesh. We saw him as something less than who he really is. We had an inadequate understanding of him. Perhaps we saw him as a good man. Well, perhaps we saw him as an example for us to follow. Maybe we saw him as a gifted teacher, and I'm sure some of us saw him as someone to be persecuted. And we may even have blasphemed his name at times. But now, Paul says, we know him in this way no longer. Good or bad, we don't see him the way we saw him. We have a different perspective now, don't we? Now, we have been given spiritual insight. We've been given insight into the truth. Therefore, it says in verse 17, since this is true, it is also true that if any man or if any woman is in Christ, then he is a new creation. Kainos in Greek. We have been transformed. We are something more than we have ever been before. We've been given a fresh start. We've been given a new beginning. We've been given a new life in Christ. And the old things, the old perspectives, the old way of thinking, the old way of living, these things no longer guide our lives because we are no longer the same person anymore. We're different. All of these things, Paul says, have passed away. Parerhomai in Greek. Now we disregard these things. We do not value them any longer. Behold, Paul exclaims, idu in Greek, look and see. Look at your lives. New things have come. Things that speak of our salvation. new desires, a new perspective, new inclinations, a new direction, a new life. These are the things that have come to us. Even though we still live in the midst of a world of old things, of an old creation, things that are all around us that no longer are part of who we are, yet we live in this world. This is a challenge sometimes, isn't it? And this new perspective, this new life that we now have in Christ is nourished as we grow in the Lord, as we grow in our understanding of His Word, as we triumph over sin by our obedience to Him, and as we are conformed to the image of Christ, over time, we become more and more like Him. Amazing, isn't it? Well, now Paul says in verse 18, we don't take any credit for any of these things, because all of these things, our salvation, our transformation, our new life in Christ, all of these things are from God. They originate with Him because He is the one who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ. Katalasso in Greek. He has taken the initiative. And through the death of His Son, He has exchanged our sin for His righteousness. Our sin has been debited to His account, to Christ, and His righteousness has been credited to our account. So as a result, He has removed the barrier of our sin that separated us from Him. It's gone. He has placed our sin on His sinless Son. And this is a message that the people of this world need to hear, don't they? They must hear what God has done for us through Christ. And how will they hear that message? Well, amazingly, He has given us that assignment. He has given us a ministry, Paul says in verse 18, to serve Him, to present the truth of this reconciliation. This is our responsibility. This is to be the priority of our lives. That though, because of our sin, we were enemies of God, now He has made a way for us to become His friends. That we who had no hope now have hope because of what God has done for us. Namely, Paul clarifies in verse 19, haste in Greek. What I mean to say is this, that in a world of myths and of lies and of deception and of misinformation, we bring the truth that God Himself was in Christ. He is both God and man, reconciling the world of mankind to Himself, so that now we might call upon Him. All of us might call upon Him and turn from our sin so that we might escape the judgment of God. Calling upon Him all of us can call upon him and turn to Christ Jesus, who is the only way to be saved from eternal punishment, the only way to be healed from the disease of our sin. Through Christ, God has made a way, the only way, for us to come to him, not counting our transgressions, our trespasses against him, it says, not holding us accountable for them, if we will believe, if we will receive the gift, this gift from God. So the psalmist said in Psalm 32, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. How blessed is he whose sin is covered. Covered by the blood of Christ. Covered by his death. And God has committed this message to us, Paul says. Tithemi, he has entrusted us with this message. With the message of the word of reconciliation, with the truth of salvation in Christ. Therefore, Paul says in verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. Presbuo in Greek. We are like elders. We have true wisdom. We have the wisdom of God. We are the ones who represent the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. And just like ambassadors of any kingdom, we live in a foreign land because our true home is in heaven. But while we are here, we are to faithfully bring the message of our King as his ambassadors, representing him while we are on this earth. As though God himself were entreating you, Paul says in verse 20, parakaleo, as though he himself were coming alongside of you through us. So, we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Exchange your sin and your guilt for the righteousness of Christ. For God the Father has made his Son, who knew no sin, to be sin. There was no sin in Christ, yet he made him to be sin, on our behalf, for our sake. Jesus took the full weight of our sin upon himself. As we are reminded in that familiar passage of Isaiah chapter 53, where it says he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Yet we are told, as a lamb who was being led away to slaughter, he did not open his mouth. Why? Perhaps he was thinking of you. Perhaps he was thinking of me. And so he has made peace with God through the blood of his cross. So that now we might become the righteousness of God in him. Not our own righteousness, but the gift of his righteousness in us through faith in him. So, do not weep. Do not despair. Do not fear. We preach the cure. We preach the cure for this deadly disease. We proclaim the cure for our sin as ambassadors of the King, as ambassadors of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org. www.bibletalk.org.